Welcome back in to Checked Out, U92's premier hockey podcast. I'm Anissa Gallo. Alongside me, Alex Silverman and Mason Deal. Taking a little bit of a hiatus, unintentional, unfortunately, was the Checked Out crew. You know, life just happens. School, you know, it's not like we're all full-time students pursuing varying degrees. But we're back for another episode at the end of the semester, and we're going to cover a little bit of everything, including a really late trade deadline recap, which I think could be better because you're going to grade some of these. Playoffs, awards, the Coyotes drama, which has been heating up, the new city involved in the NHL, Utah, yet to be determined where. But first, we want to send a really big congratulations to Jeff Carter, who retired from the NHL after 19 seasons playing. Jeff Carter went first overall, first round, 11th overall in the 2003 draft to the Philadelphia Flyers. Is that correct, Alex Silverman?
That is correct.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on Big Jeff Carter?
He was good for us when we had our run in the early 2010s. He was good with the Penguins. Wasn't that good with the Blue Jackets.
Did he even... How long was he in Columbus?
40 games, tops.
Yeah, 39. Yeah, 39 maxed out.
I know he played for the Kings.
Yeah, he had a pretty good stint in L.A. I mean, yeah. Won the two cups there.
I was going to say he's probably... His prime was definitely when he was with L.A.
Yeah.
He was a big part of the two cups. And I think he may have even had... If I remember correctly, he may have had the assist on that Martinez overtime goal. I think I remember him taking the original shot because it was a rebound goal. This was over 10 years ago, 11 years ago. So
yeah, I'm trying to recall that goal in my head. I can't
remember.
It was
Rangers, Alec Martinez. It was 3-2, yeah. And it was game six in L.A. It was a rebound right off the pads, and he like tapped it in. They went crazy. The goal horn guy pushed the button for like 30 seconds straight with the train horn.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was just jumping up and down, and that was the last time the Rangers came anywhere near the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, well... We'll see it maybe again, getting ahead for the playoff preview, but the year is 2024, and the Edmonton Oilers are playing the Los Angeles Kings in the first round, same as they have in 2023 and 2022.
One of the admins,
2021.
I think the admin for the Oilers on Twitter posted a meme. It's like, we meet again.
Yeah.
And it's just a continuation.
Last year's season was fun, though.
Yeah.
For the Oilers?
Yeah, well, I won't get ahead to my playoff preview pick, but I'll leave it at this. I think this could be a good series, and I think it's a little bit of a sneaky pick for both of these squads. One of these, I'm not going to let in too much, but one of these squads, I think, lucked out with that matchup, and the other one, caution. That's all I'm going to say for now.
Well, finishing up this one, goodbye, Jeff Carter. Enjoy your lawnmower. Your two Stanley Cups, your two gold medals for Team Canada.
And all the Bush you can drink now.
All the
Bush
and the blood platinum that you can get your hands on. He's going to have so much fun. And he's going to stay in Pittsburgh. So, hey, Jeff Carter, hit us up. Come be on the podcast.
hoping to see him at the Primanti's in Market Square, just in line, just chilling.
You think he goes down to Market Square? You ever been to Market Square on a weekday, Mason?
I have. Well, actually... No, it was a weekend last time.
Never mind.
But
last time
I mean, maybe
there, like
it's a little
people.
Freaky there.
Yeah, but you never know. I mean, Jeff, bring the kids out or something. I don't know. he's trying new dad things that he hasn't been able to do. So like you know,
yeah,
people
like cutting his own grass.
Right. Like you. I mean, you think about like oh, like hey, you know, I'm coming to Pittsburgh. You know, what should I do? You know, go and see the sights, see the city, and whatnot. And you know, people might say Market Square, probably more towards Christmas time. But I mean, like you know. You can just go on a you know Thursday afternoon, go and get some Primanti's, you know.
He can drive down I-79, too.
Yeah.
Do that.
Come stop by Morgantown. I got a couch if you need to crash. I mean, you know, I just, well, I'm not 21, so I can't say this, but, you know, when I turn 21, I would love to share a Busch Light with Jeff Carter, given the chance. So.
He'd probably kill it in the blue lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. My God.
He would love it there.
We need to get him to the blue lot.
Jeff Carter, if you're listening, I know I have several tailgate spots and lots of Busch Bush Peach, Bush, you know, Watermelon might be rumored with the Chastain sponsorships for NASCAR. I'm just saying, man, I got the connects, and we got grass you can mow. The kids can come down too. I mean, I'm just saying, bring Megan too. Love Megan Carter, favorite wag of the week. Well, maybe we don't know how many wags of the week we have right now. I think Lauren Oshie is probably up there for the
Lauren Oshie stays on top. All right, you don't dethrone her.
Well. I mean, maybe like an honorary wag of the week for Megan Carter, because you know, spending time with I guess like former wag of the week, I guess. Not, well, that sounds wrong. It feels like they'd like divorced or something. No, just like wag of retired players award. Let's just get into the deadline.
Yeah, okay. A lot happened with the NHL deadline. And I know Mason and I did like a little thing before it, but the audio was awful, so I didn't post it. But this was before Gensel got traded. Obviously, this is the biggest one that we talked about, because we're like, okay, we know Gensel's going to get shipped out. Where is he going to go? Gensel ended up going to Carolina. At the time, I was a little upset about it because they got Michael Bunting and they got three prospects in return. And I think now that we're past the deadline, you know, the season's over for the Penguins and you're moving into the postseason, you can kind of get a better look at how these trades affected these teams.
Yeah.
So Gensel fit like a glove over in Carolina. He's playing amazing with them. I think him and Bunting are kind of matched with the same amount of points or so.
Post-deadline?
Yeah, post-deadline. Yeah,
I think so. I can't remember. I thought I might just be spreading misinformation here. I thought I saw somebody say that Gensel put up the most points for a deadline acquisition in like Carolina history.
I did see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it clearly worked out for them. I mean, they are sitting pretty at the, the first in the Metro or second in the Metro? I can't.
They're second.
Second in the Metro.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the, you know what? That's right. I was looking at last year's bracket. That one makes sense. Sitting second in the Metro, got a big first round matchup against the Islanders. That's going to be a great series, I think. I can't say that. I mean, I don't think there's any regret coming from Carolina. I will say, I think it was kind of funny that they got Gensel for his, you know, like, not necessarily playmaking ability, but you know, it's kind of like, I got to pull up the numbers here from, it was a Jay Fresh on Twitter, did like the before and after player cards for the Gensel deal.
I did see that.
And it was like he got to Carolina and all of a sudden like completely changed how he played and like started, I think it was like he started playing defense, which like I think he was at like a 9% like defensive rate, but I mean, still just like, I can't see any reason that Canes fans would be upset with the Gensel deal.
I mean, you have anything, Alex?
I know you both were upset with the Gensel deal, but I think it was the right move. I think we can all agree that the Penguins kind of waxed and waned throughout the season, and that the fact that they were that close to making the second wild card after where they were couple months ago, that's a little better than we expected.
Oh yeah.
Similar shout out that I like to give to my Flyers is that they just barely missed the playoffs by the same token, and Cam was extremely excited because we pulled our goalie so TJ Oshie could score the easiest goal of his career to send the Caps to the playoffs again. The Flyers are expected to be in the bottom three of the league. We're talking San Jose Sharks territory. And no offense to any Sharks fans that listen, but the Sharks, they really had no expectations this year because the Sharks, they're in the middle of rebuilding. And they're not much different than the Flyers. And yet the Flyers were one win away from a playoff spot. So I think that kudos should go out to them for making things interesting, and I think that they have a bright future. And going back to the Sharks, I know that a lot of people see their record and they're like, wow, that's bad. Maybe relocation bad. We'll get to that in a little bit. I think the Sharks next year can come back and have a rebound year, and I could see them make a wild card spot. They have a good prospect pool. They're probably most likely going to get a top five draft pick unless Gary gets his hands on the draft balls again like he did for the Hawks last year. And the Sharks, I feel like 5 years ago, they were good. Like, we all talked about them. They had that 1 year in which they played the Penguins in the Cup Final.
Yeah.
But they and they lost,
mm-hmm.
but they were good. They've been competitive for a while. Now it's been a few years where they haven't been competitive, and I think that if we do like a little quick preview of next season, I really think the Sharks could take a step forward.
Okay. I mean, we were talking about Gensel and Bunting.
Oh, I'm
but
sorry. All right. Yeah, I like to go off topic here. Going back to Gensel and Bunting... I think
have we end up to a different coast,
different league, like you know.
Gensel, I think it's a good fit for Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Bunting, I always have a number of questions with Bunting. I like his work ethic. I like the heart. I like the grit in his playing style. I don't like his discipline. It's better than it was in Toronto, in which Sheldon Keefe claimed to the media that we're gonna take care of this, and really he sat him for a game, and all that did was get Sheldon Keefe another loss, which he seems to be really good at when the wins actually matter is getting the L's.
Yeah.
Getting back to Bunning himself, though, I feel like it's Bunning, whoever else is on the line with Bunning, that kind of props him up. A lot like Zach Hyman of the Oilers. And I'm not doubting their talent. Obviously, if they're playing in the NHL, they have the talent that they belong. There's a reason why they were drafted, why they've been signed to one of the 32 NHL clubs, and there's a reason why people are wearing their jersey. It might only be like two people wearing their jersey, but there's a reason why people want to wear their jersey and emulate them. I just think the thing for the Penguins, not just Bunning, but the thing for the Penguins overall is that they have to get more consistent on special teams. I know we talked about that a lot early on with the power play and the penalty kill. And ironically, like my Flyers, our power play was, there was no power whatsoever. Like,
yeah,
it was like 5%.
Well, you also were able to turn that over, and on the penalty kills,
yeah.
You had Travis Konechny, who would score
and Sean
all those
Walker.
Shorthanded goals. Sean Walker went to Colorado, so you don't have him anymore.
I know he went to Colorado, but I'm saying before he went to Colorado, he had four, if I remember. He had like
well,
four.
Then afterwards, you just have Travis Konechny. And wasn't he injured for a few games?
Yeah, he was banged up towards the end of the year.
If anything, I think, you know, Bunting, when he came to the Penguins, he played 21 games, 6 goals, 13 assists for 19 points. Gensel, over in Carolina, 17 games, 8 goals, 17 assists, 25 points. So their numbers are kind of evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
Does Bunting have a few more games on Gensel? Yes. But at the same time, you have to remember, like, Jake Gensel came from a really good franchise. He was playing on Sidney Crosby's wing. And
yeah.
Then you go over, and he's still playing on the first line. He's with Aho and Seth Jarvis right now.
Yeah,
so
which is still like
not downgrading by any
that's,
means.
Yeah, in its own, a really, really solid line, you know. But like, I think, especially building off that, like, I think this was definitely a win-win trade in terms of like not even considering the prospects, just Bunting for Gensel. If you even took it one of one, like now that the like post deadline shuffling around, you put Bunting on the second line with Malkin. And like a rotating cast of like Rust, Raquel, Drew O'Connor, and like Bunting, at least he was a solid piece to that second line when a year where we saw so many different combinations, Sullivan trying whatever he thought of, eating his Cheerios in the morning before practice. I mean, like it was a nice refresh of consistency that we hadn't really seen all year, and especially for the points to come with it. I think, especially post-deadline, I think Malkin's line really looked elevated, where especially at the start of the year, it kind of looked like Gino's age was getting up to him.
That's
and
what I was going to say. Like, so I disagree with you, Alex. I don't think that whoever is with Bunting elevates him. Bunting helped elevate that second line.
Yeah.
Malkin was dead in the water earlier in the season because you had so many different people. I'm not... You know, Drew O'Connor got moved up to that first line, and he's been absolutely soaring being on Crosby's wing, and I think that's what he needed.
Yeah.
But saying that Bunting is a product of whoever else is on his line is kind of taking away from the fact that he helps them as well.
Well, like I get what you're saying, and I'm sorry if I offended anyone.
You're not ruffling feathers. I'm just saying, I disagree.
I'm not like,
because,
you know, anti-Michael Bunting here. I was just saying I think some of Michael Bunting's stats are propped up a little bit, but like I said in the beginning, I love his work ethic. I enjoy his playing style.
How? He hasn't hit 100 goals yet in his career. He's just passed 100 assists, and he's played 268 games. He's been playing for, what, 7-plus years?
How many, all right, Anissa, how many players can you name on the Penguins in the last 5 years have scored, 200 goals on their career? And with the exception of Malkin.
This is not like a matter of like naming who is who. I'm just saying he is not a product of who he's on his line with. He didn't have that good of a production in Carolina. He didn't have good production with the Yotes. He didn't have good production with the Leafs. So see a full season of him and then be like, okay, maybe he is a product of who on his line. But saying that right now, it's kind of taking away from him as a player.
I see. The thing with Bunting is that you have your superstars, you have your scorers, you have your defensemen, your lockdown defenders. A winning team doesn't need everyone to score 150 goals on the season. They need everyone to play as a team. And whether or not Bunting props up other players on his line or he just improves his game, in the end, if the Penguins want to make the playoffs going forward, he's got to... I guess what I'm trying to say here is, because you've kind of put me in a little bit of a corner here, Anissa, is that unfortunately, not everyone's going to score a couple hundred goals in the NHL. And you could say that, like, for example, a veteran, like Bunny, like you said, Bunny's been around 6 or 7 years, and he doesn't have a couple hundred goals in his repertoire just yet. But he has playoff experience. Granted, when he was with the Leafs, it only lasted one round, usually. But he has that experience. And at the end of the day, there's something to be said from him being able to translate that experience to his game when the games really matter down the line at the end of the season, and his influence on some of the rookies and other prospects coming up that haven't had the opportunity to play in those games. So while I agree with you that you have a point that his stats aren't jumping off the paper, I disagree when you say that his production needs to like go up. Does that make sense? I guess what I'm trying to say is I think you want to like give off the implication that you want Michael Bunting to be a Rocket Richard trophy getter.
That's not what I'm trying to say whatsoever. Are you going to say right now that Connor McDavid is a result of Zach Hyman having a really good year?
No, not
then
at all.
Why would you say it about Michael Bunting? Like, why would you translate that same sentiment over there?
Oh, I see. See where we have some tension here on the podcast.
No tension. I'm just asking.
I'm joking.
Like,
my thing with Bunting is that
I'm not looking for him to have, and I'm keep cutting you off. I'm sorry, but I'm not looking for him to have 80 plus goals or 50 plus. I'm not looking for him to put up Austin Matthew numbers or, you know, really high numbers. But like production, like he didn't get a full season with the Penguins. Once he gets a full season with the Penguins, being on Geno's wing, then you can look at him as a whole and be like, okay, like maybe this is how he plays better. Like he plays better with a veteran center. But like you can't like base it off right now, you know?
Okay. I'm sorry to all the Michael Bunting fans out there.
I'm not a Michael Bunting truther. I'm just saying, like,
hey, if we were having this discussion about blank, 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 then I'd be all for it, because he's done absolutely nothing for the LA Kings, nothing for the Winnipeg Jets, and nothing for the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I'd be more than happy to have that discussion about
him. Are you talking about playoff player Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Anissa. We can't say that name.
When he shows up in the box score Monday night in the game I'll be happy and I'll let him off the hook. But until he shows up in any playoff box score,
you know where he's going to be sitting on that box score? It's going to be on the healthy scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, when the Kings advanced to the second round off the Pierre-Luc Dubois game winning goal in game six, I mean, you know, you gotta take that with a grain of salt, you know. Anyways,
back to the trade deadline.
Yeah. what other important moves are there? Noah Hanifin to the Vegas Golden Knights from Calgary. Calgary received a first round pick in the 2025 draft. Defenseman Daniil Miromanov and a conditional third in the 2025, and then Philadelphia got a fifth round pick in that. I mean, it worked for the Knights. I mean, they got, as advertised, they just signed him to a big old fat extension there a couple days ago.
Knights also took Anthony Mantha from the Caps.
Yeah, too. I was gonna say.
Yeah, I was saying, is that a, I guess
Mantha in a trade too? That was kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's. As much as it pains me to say, it feels like even though they got a really tough matchup against Dallas in round one, it is kind of, you know, Vegas is them and their LTIR cap playoff shenanigans and stuff. It always feels like it's theirs to lose more than anybody else's to win, kind of, you know.
And they also bagged Tomas Hertl from the Sharks.
Yeah,
he was out on LTIR because he had knee surgery. It wasn't like knee surgery. I think
it was like a minor procedure.
It said clean out loose cartilage in his knee, but he's back as well. But before he was out in his 48 games with the Sharks, he had 34 points, which isn't that bad for being with the Sharks, who, like you guys said earlier, were just bottom of the barrel this year.
Big old thumbs down.
He waived his no movement clause to go to Vegas. So I think he was like kind of sick of it. He didn't want to be in the middle of a rebuild, which is what the Sharks are doing right now. I mean, the Sharks got some pieces out of it. They got Vegas's draft picks in the 25-27 draft. And they also cleared out some cap space. So keep going with that rebuild that the Sharks are in the process of. I think you'll have to see how he performs in the playoffs with the Knights.
Yeah, I feel like all of Vegas's moves, I think, are just really dependent upon what they do in the playoffs. Because
and who's on their LTIR at the moment?
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like every time Mark Stone to the LTIR on, you know, February 25th every single year, like clockwork, and he comes back, ready for round one. He's been ramping up in his, you know,
Vegas
rehab.
Vegas learns how to circumvent the cap.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I cannot get mad at them at all, because Tampa Bay did the same thing for years. They were the only team back in 2015 to try and vote against, you know, LTIR in like a playoff cap. They're the only team that tried to do it, and then they were like, once it got shut down, then they started abusing the system. They haven't really, I mean, you know, two cups in the past 3 years, you can't really say that they haven't really been doing it as much, but I feel like Lightning really haven't been making too many moves to try and, you know, kind of abuse it in the same way that the Knights have. Now the Knights have been, you know, past 3-4 years now, just been, you know, slamming it at the deadline, getting as many pieces as they can and just worrying about it later. It almost feels like they're like the NHL equivalent of, I feel like, the
Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers,
yeah. That's what I was thinking too.
Well, I was thinking...
Cut the check. Let's go.
I was thinking a little bit different. I was thinking the New Orleans Saints, but like way earlier in like Drew Brees' career, where they just threw money at everyone and everything, backloaded the ever-loving daylight out of every single contract, and then now they're just like perpetually stuck in cap hell. That kind of feels like what the Knights are like leading up to, because, I mean, like, you go and get Hanifin, you go and get Hertl, you got Mark Stone, Eichel, you know, bunch of pieces that are going to want to get paid at some point. And, I mean, like, I guess, you know, if they want to put together a winning culture and, you know, get a bunch of guys on kind of like, you know, a la like Patriots dynasty and just convince them all to take team friendly, you know, pay cuts, like, go for it. But I mean, at some point it's going to blow up. I don't know if it's going to blow up so much as like the Patriots have now, or if it's going to, they're going to be, you know, bottom feeders for a couple of years. I would love to see it personally as a Vegas hater, but I can't guarantee it, you know?
I 158% agree with you, Mason Deal.
It's a very specific number.
Specific number indeed. That's the problem with the contracts. You can't just keep spending, and writing blank check after blank check and think you're going to buy yourself a championship. Yeah, it might work once or twice, but as you mentioned, look at the Patriots now.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the I'll throw out the Yankees for a little bit. I know this is a hockey podcast, but the Yankees, you know, big market team.
It's all the same salary.
Exactly. Yeah. Big market team, big money. That's great. Big contracts. That's great some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees, they've had their success, but they've also had their down years. And the reason why the Yankees' expectations are so high every year is that they want to win. They have a very big fan base, you know, a very devoted fan base, and they expect wins. They have a lot of money at their disposal being a big market team, and so they invest in the best of the best players and big contracts, and their goal is to win. And unlike some of the other smaller market teams, like, for example, let's just say the Kansas City Royals, who don't have as much money at that disposal.
Look at the Tampa Bay Rays and what they were able to do the last few years.
My point being is that the smaller teams, you know, you don't have to have the five best players in the league on your team in order to make a deep run, in order to be a threat.
Right.
But when you do have the five best players on your team and you don't make that deep threat, are you still a good team, or are you a bad team that just doesn't meet expectations? And my follow-up question for that is, in my opinion, Vegas' team last year was the most talented team they had, with the exception of maybe their inaugural year in which they lost to the Caps in the Stanley Cup. And I'm not just saying that based on their record or how far they went in the playoffs. I saw some of their games, and based on the chemistry between different players and who was doing what and who was, you know, putting the puck in the net and goaltending, all of that. One thing I think people forget is last year, they really had a giant question mark going into the year with goaltending. They had at one point three goalies in the mix.
Yeah.
And yet, in June, they're still lifting the cup above their shoulders. The Avalanche in 22. Yeah, people said they would be good, but everyone was like, they won't make it all the way. They have a little bit of goaltending issues. They weren't high on Kemper. They said that McKinnon would find a way to get hurt, or Mika Rantanen just wouldn't show up. And McKinnon and Rantanen is like, yeah, tell me about that after. And they win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when the Golden Knights, because we're talking about the Golden Knights, after they've now won the Cup, does that make them like the Yankees of the NHL for spending after only being in the league for 8 years?
Kind of makes me think, again,
because sorry to interrupt you. I'll just leave it at this. Going back to like the Dodgers and the Yankees have been around forever, mm-hmm. to be honest. The Golden Knights really haven't. And whereas baseball, it's a 162-game season, so you drop a game here or there, it doesn't matter. Hockey, it's a fraction of that at 82. But also remember that in hockey, if you lose in overtime, you still get a point.
Yeah.
Whereas in baseball, you either win and get 2 points, or you lose and you don't get any. So that's a big difference there. So I guess my question to both of you is, are the Golden Knights big spenders? Obviously, you said yes. Anissa?
You look at them, they are. But I think that if this year they did all of these gymnastics, going out, acquiring Hanifin, getting Hurdle, taking Mantha, you know, bringing Mark Stone back, you know, what did he have, like a lacerated
spleen? Yeah, it was a spleen issue.
Okay.
He's one tough guy. He always seems to have some big injury. He comes back ahead of schedule, maybe just by a little bit. And he always,
I think they're keeping him in a back-to-tank all season so that he's fine for the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's starting to seem like that, isn't it?
I don't know if that's so much that he's a tank, or if it's so much that the Vegas team... the Vegas team doctors are kind of... I'm not going to accuse them of medical malpractice, but, you know, you can find issues where there's not.
Aaron Rodgers moment.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci is actually making Mark Stone lacerate his spleen every year. But
I think that if this year they do all that stuff, and at the end of the day, they get knocked out in the first round, then you have to kind of sit back and laugh at them. Yeah. Because it's just like when the Dodgers fall this year after doing all that work. Getting all these guys, signing Shohei to that huge contract, having Shohei defer that huge contract of over the course of the next few years so that they have more money for this year, I will sit back and laugh. And it will feed generations.
Yeah.
It will feed generations when I don't have to see Vegas Golden Knights stuff in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Yeah. No, instead you're going to see...
What are we going to see, Alex?
Utah Yeti stuff?
The Utah Hockey Club. No, it's going to be Utah Hockey Club.
I don't
think
so.
No,
he'll name it in a week.
No, I was. Well,
remember,
he said we'll
take our time on getting our franchise in. Boom, he's got it.
Yeah. No, I definitely think it's going to be Utah Hockey Club, at least for time being moving forward. It'll probably be something, but I know they filed a bunch of trademarks. It was like Utah Blizzard,
Venom,
Yeti, Venom, Yetis.
Skates. Or blades.
Or
something
like yeah.
I like Venom, I'm not going to lie.
Well, that would be good because like all the snakes and Utah has a lot of snakes like in their desert areas.
Yeah.
It's kind of different. The NHL doesn't really have much of a snake themed team.
Yeah, most snakes don't really go on the ice that much, especially in the desert. But I guess it's
more interesting than hockey club. Do you want to buy a hockey club shirt?
It's
How's that any
different than Washington football team?
Yeah, well, exactly. Was it just a transitional thing for like 1-2 years?
They should have kept that. Just saying, I love that Washington.
No,
it's great, man.
No,
it's like the PWHL teams right now. How they just have Boston.
Yeah,
New York.
That sucks too.
They tried introducing names, and everyone saw them. They were like, "What the hell are these names?"
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is you gotta like get you know me and my marketing brain get some focus groups. Get some, like, you know, surveys going. Get some fan feedback. Ding, ding, ding. You know, that's the key to success here. Don't just, like, throw patents into the wind and hope that one of them sticks. You got to, you know, find something. I mean, clearly we saw the backlash that came with the PWHL names. And, you know, it's going to be the same thing for Utah, whatever that team ends up being. I hope it'd be the Yetis, if anything. But... I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a rough thing, but I guess this is a good transition to talk about the Utah, you know, that whole debacle anyways. Ooh. And especially what's been going down in the desert, unfortunately, with Arizona.
I'm personally upset. I always really enjoyed the Coyotes. I was fortunate to go to a Coyotes game in their last season in Glendale. My dad and I were out there for my spring break, my senior year in high school. And so I kind of dragged him to the majestic Gila River Arena that was about 28% full, throwing another random percentage at y'all. And it was just really sad to watch. I remember talking to a couple of the ushers, and they had known at this point that they were going to be playing at Mullet Arena because Alex Murillo just refused to pay his lease for the Coyotes to stay in Glendale. And they said, we don't know how long we're going to be able to play at Mullet Arena, which is the home of Arizona State University's hockey team out there in Tempe. We don't know if we're going to last there that long, and we could get relocated. And I had that thought in the back of my mind, and yesterday it became official that the Arizona Coyotes' time in the desert is, I refuse to say done, so I'm going to say is extended hiatus for now. And
I think it's really sad
because... Despite what everyone says, there is a fan base in Arizona. I have friends that liked hockey growing up from the Phoenix area. And one thing that they said, and I've seen a lot of stuff online, is that the Coyotes, they just didn't put them in the right area. Phoenix is a sprawling city. It's not like a lot of cities back east. Mm-hmm. A lot of cities on the East Coast, like, for example, Pittsburgh, PPG, the arena's right downtown. Philadelphia, Wells Fargo, our arena's not right downtown, but it's 10-15 minutes away.
Right.
With the exception of the Ottawa Senators playing out in Kanata, which is a far suburb of Ottawa, and that might be why they have attendance issues, the Arizona Coyotes were the only other team I could think of that played in a far suburb of the city that they supposedly call home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, who wants to drive 45 minutes to watch the Coyotes play the Jets, for example, on a Tuesday night?
Yeah,
a lot of people may want to do it now after this is done.
Yeah.
Well, they might now, but my point being is that if they built the new arena, in downtown Phoenix or in downtown Tempe or Scottsdale or Chandler or Mesa or any of the cities with the exception of Glendale, because Glendale is just so far out there. It's literally on the Phoenix Beltway. It's like one of the last exits before you leave the city going toward California into the middle of the desert where there's nothing around. Mm-hmm. If they built it just 10 or 15 miles closer to the city, I think it would have been different. There is hockey there. Austin Matthews, Matthew Knies.
Matthew Knies?
Knies.
Normally I mess that stuff up. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I call him and I butcher it in 50 different ways every time.
Knies.
Cannot. Matthew Knies.
No, I agree. Logan Cooley out there,
yeah,
he's what he's doing.
There.
Yeah.
He's actually from Pittsburgh. Logan Cooley. He plays with the Yotes right now. But like they're growing out there. Like you see so many kids still playing hockey, going to those rinks to play in their youth group, you know, leagues. And I think it's just a shame because they don't see a money value in it. But that's because, again, they're not marketing it correctly. Mm-hmm. Putting them in Mullet Arena, that was really bad. That's an awful decision because, you know, small college arena trying to hold an NHL franchise.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no way it's feasible. I don't think that every like argument that I've seen as to why Arizona does not deserve a team always points to like the attendance as a big thing. And like, I think like you were mentioning and being out in the, like the suburbs, like the far out areas of the cities, I think definitely has something to do with it. But I think we're missing the, you know, obvious answer here, and it's that ownership just completely failed this team in terms of just putting together a successful winning caliber roster. I mean, other than that conference finals run in what, 2012, 2011?
Yeah.
They haven't seen success in the desert ever. And I mean, like, you could look back to that 2012, the 2012 run, and like the playoff series was buzzing. The atmosphere was excellent. And like, it kind of inspired future and for hockey in, you know, Phoenix at the time, and then, you know, later the greater Arizona area. I mean, when they don't have that right now. They have, you know, Clayton Keller, Logan Cooley, and that's about it. They don't really have they haven't had the semblance of a playoff roster in so long. And I mean, it's the same reason, like, for the longest time, you know, like Winnipeg having really low attendance numbers, and like San Jose more recently, the Blackhawks, like, it's not so much that like, oh, people, you know, don't really, they can't get to the games or they don't, you know, want to be at the games. It's that there's nothing for them on the ice itself. Like,
yeah.
you have to put together a somewhat competitive squad to at least see an uptick in attendance. Coyotes just haven't had a competitive squad in pretty much their existence. And I mean, there's no other place to point the blame than to directly at the, you know, mishandling of the franchise, the losing of picks, the, you know, trading away of assets. It's just, you know, you can't move any forward if you're staying on the same treadmill of mediocrity the entire time that your franchise exists.
Yeah. Going back to relocation, you have teams like, for example, the Baltimore Colts. You know, they pack up in the middle of the night and they're like, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the heck out of here. Yada, yada, yada. YOLO. See you later. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
The Coyotes, the Yotes, they weren't like that. They were driven into the ground by not one, but two owners that were literally in it just for themselves. And the blame also could be put on Gary Bettman and the rest of the board of governors and the NHL central office, because they saw this and they did nothing about it. And if Gary really cared about bringing hockey and keeping hockey in the Valley of the Sun, he would have.
Yeah, absolutely.
He only cared about the dollars going to his wallet. And so he kind of got what he deserved. It was eventually going to happen. A team that doesn't want to pay for their players to stay in their own hotel rooms during an away trip. When's the last time you heard an NHL team like that? Sounds like it could be a borderline movie there. A fun movie. I'd watch it. Like a slapshot Coyotes version in which they stay at some genius venue of some sort.
Motel 6.
Or they have cots that are like literally in one of the goals, so that they wake up knowing that they're up 1-0 because they technically scored a goal because they're all inside the net. Something like that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, before Alex Morello, you had Xavier Gutierrez. I know I butchered that, and I'm sorry, but really not that sorry because he was not a nice person at all. He gambled away assets of the team. He lost them draft capital, and when he was pressed about it by the media and the NHL, he just pawned off. He's like, oh, that's no big deal. It's all part of the business of running an NHL team. Let me tell you, that's not part of the business. That's why you don't have an NHL team anymore. And the last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to keep my Coyotes rant short and sweet, is when I was at that game in 22 at Gill River Arena in Glendale, mm-hmm. I got this really cool Coyote shirt with their original logo, you know, the Howling Coyote.
Yeah.
Everything in the team shop was 50% off with their logo, that logo. And I said to one of the employees, why is everything 50% off? I think that logo is really cool. And she goes, well, our owner doesn't like it. He wants a rebrand of the team. And I'll admit, I love the Kachina logo just as much as the original Howling logo. I would have loved the Kachina jersey. I still might get a Kachina jersey before they run out because I know they'll be popular. I thought it was cool because it honored the area's indigenous history, and it also tied a little bit of like hockey in it too.
Yeah.
Alex Morello, though, he didn't like it. He was trying to make his own brand, and that's the problem. When you acquire a team, you acquire their brand, and that's the reason why you want to own an NHL team, because you want the NHL team's brand to bring you money, and you also want to generate other sources of revenue in other potential assets. And Alex Morello, not only was he unqualified to own the Coyotes, he just didn't care. And to be honest with you, I'm convinced that some of these land auctions, he didn't submit X, Y, and Z proposals. For example, he claimed he was going to meet with the mayor of Scottsdale and Phoenix for that arena site in North Phoenix where they're going to have the land auction in about 2 months. And Mayor Phoenix office comes out and says, we've never been contacted for the meeting, and I have to agree with them. He also was going to build an arena right next to the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, in which I guess planes were going to like land on top. Anissa, you should have seen the blueprint. Like the arena was like literally right there by the airport, and they're like, no, the FAA was like, no, that's the airport. Like, that's how you get the flight path. We can't do that. And Alex Morello is like, oh, wow. They're just saying that because they don't want the retail or whatever. They don't like us.
They probably been scheming for a few years for this.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
They have to be scheming. If you said that the stuff was 50% off, there's a lot of really damning stuff on Reddit right now, which take that with a grain of salt. But sometimes people go on there, and then a few months, you'll be like, oh, like, you'll see information come out that you saw on Reddit a few months ago, and you're like, oh, like, they were telling the truth. Like, yeah. I didn't want to believe it then.
It's, yeah, like it's genuinely depressing that, like, Leaky Taco 58 on Reddit can have, like, more accurate information than the NHL Board of Governors. Like, why are we getting leaks that are more accurate than, you know, like, official sources here, when it's something as important to, like, an entire state, an entire, like, you know, culture of hockey in the desert, and, you know, like, basically amateurs, and, like, you know, like, I don't want to say, like, subpar journalists, but, like, you know, not, like, official sources are coming in and being like, oh, yeah, no, Utah front runners to, you know, receive either... It was expansion franchise, and it's like, oh, the Yotes are absolutely getting out of there. You know, it's prime position for them. Like, it's the same thing that's happening to the A's in Oakland right now. It's going to happen to the Yotes. Wouldn't surprise me what we see a trend across, like, all the major sports leagues where owners are like, oh, my hands are tied. I didn't pay my taxes, so now we're going to move to... You know, and we're gonna get an MLB team in Vegas and Nashville now.
Team in Nashville.
I would too, but I'm expansion, not relocation, is my MO. So
there's all this talk about diluting the talent in the league, and I say, yeah, I agree with that to some extent. If you have 55 teams, if you 56, why would you have an odd number? Although it seems like that's something Gary Bettman would love because he loves anything that, you know, makes stuff difficult for other people down the road.
Right.
All right, let's move on to playoff picture now.
Mm.
Playoffs are set. Start tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
So in the first round, Dallas, who they clinched their division.
They did.
Top of Central.
Vegas They're going to play Vegas. I'm mumbling on my words. Vegas got a wild card 2 spot. So Dallas and Vegas are going to go at it. The Winnipeg Jets and Colorado going against each other. The Canucks and the Nashville Predators, who clinched their number one wild card spot. The Oilers and the Kings, which if you would have told us a few months ago the Oilers would be in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now after that disastrous run they had, I would have laughed. And then on the other side, good old Battle of Florida, you have the Panthers going against the Lightning, who clinched the wild card 1 spot here. Bruins and the Maple Leafs, always a good matchup.
Always.
To sleep to.
They feel they feel like the East version of the Kings Oilers. I feel they were like 100%. What like 2013, 2016, 2018, 2019, I think 2021.
I think in the bubble too, if I remember.
Yeah, there's just it's another year the Kings and Oilers are playing in the first round and the Leafs and Bruins on the other side.
Well, it's like that one thing where it's like it's not a rivalry if they always beat our ass. So, you have that one, the Rangers playing the Capitals after the Capitals snuck into the wild card 2 spot over in the Atlantic, which that wild card race towards the end had me biting my nails, and it was shocking. And then the Hurricanes are going to play the Islanders, which I think the Islanders are a fraud franchise.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Patrick Waugh. You guys are...
I am not sorry to anybody who lives on the... area of Long Island.
On Long Island.
Not care. I actually pity you. I pity you if you live on Long Island.
Yeah.
Playing the Hurricanes. So I'm going to run down mine really quick.
Are we going to start with one series or are you going rapid fire?
I'm just going rapid fire.
Oh, wow.
I think it's going to be Stars are going to take over. I'm not doing games because that's too much effort right now. It's going to be Stars and Avs. Okay. Then it's going to be Canucks and Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going, I'm saying Panthers and Bruins, so you're getting a nice little rematch from last year.
Oh, yeah.
Rangers, Canes. Then I'm going to still pick the Stars out of that Avalanche match. I'm going to go with the Oilers. So it's Stars, Oilers going to Western Conference Final. Then I'm going to pick the Panthers and the Hurricanes. I cannot have the Rangers win anything whatsoever. As much as it pains me, I really want to see the Canes win because I think, you know, it'd be good and the Penguins would also get their conditional draft picks.
Right.
I think it's going to be Stars, Canes, and I think the Canes are going to win.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd like to see... I saw it was like an article talking about like a playoff preview, and I feel like Brett Burns is one of the he's like old guys without a cup, the OG whack. I think he's my favorite. Yeah, without a cup.
Oh, I was like, what?
No. No, Brett Burns, famous wag.
you have wags, and then you have whacks.
Yeah, he's a OG whack, old guy without a cup. Yeah, I think I want to see him win one for sure. And also the Penguins' first-round pick, that would be nice to have.
And also Jake Gensel getting another one.
Yeah. All right, I'll rapid-fire mine really quickly. I got Stars over Knights, round one. I got Jets over Avs, round one. That's going to be a bloodbath of a series. Shockingly, I have the Predators over the Canucks. I think the Canucks could and should run deep. However, I believe in the power of friendship above all. And my girlfriend's a Preds fan, so I have to root for them.
Hockey runs through Smashville.
Yeah, I think the league is better when Smashville has a good team. So I got Kings over Oilers. I think that it would just be really fun to... I want to see McDavid hoist a cup, but I really do think that the Kings moving on to the second round would be so fun. I just, like, that team is just, like, vibes. I don't... They're not really a good vibe team, but, like, I'm finding the light in the darkness of them black uniforms, and I'm saying that they're making a run. Panthers over Lightning, pretty easy. Sorry, Kucherov. I think the Leafs break the curse and get past...
Again, and get past
Boston in the first round. Just coming from a Boston-hating standpoint. Rangers over Capitals, I will give a games in that. That's a sweep. Capitals suck so bad. And then Canes over Islanders. Also, again, you know, Brett Burns, OG whack. Need to see that. Round two, give me Stars over Jets. That's going to be another bloodbath. The West is just a bloodbath as a whole. That top section of the bracket is just downright disgusting. I'm going to also take Predators over Knights just to continue the vibes rolling. Predators over Kings. I think the vibes are going to stay rolling. I think Jason Zucker is going to have a Conn Smythe era explosion here. And Anthony Bolivar as well. Both deadline acquisitions for them, which have been working out really, really well. Panthers over Leafs quite easily. Not much to say on that. Canes over Rangers. And then conference finals. Give me Stars over Predators. Give me the... I'll also say Canes over Panthers, and then I'll just so we don't have repetition, I'll go Stars over over Canes.
I could see it. Like, that's what Tanner Enyard has been saying this entire year. Mm-hmm. Stars, 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 and I'm like, I don't see it, but now I'm like, okay, like if they can lock in.
Yeah, so. Really, if Ottinger can lock in like he did last year, then they're going far. I can't see any world so long as he is at the top of his game. He's been kind of shaky all year long, but, I mean, we saw it last year, when he's good, he is good. And that squad in front of him, it's hard to beat.
All right, I'm going to start in the East because, in my opinion, the West is a lot more fun and there's a lot more chips that we could say fall in the West as opposed to the East. So I'm gonna go Panthers over Lightning. Not a bad year, a down year by their lofty standards. I just think Matthew Tkachuk, Anissa's favorite player, and Sergei Bobrovsky, Tanner Enyart's favorite goalie, there's just too much firepower on that team. Bruins, Leafs, I'm sorry, I know Patrice Bergeron, unfortunately he retired from the game, but he still lives rent free in all you Leafs fans' heads. Bruins in 5 or 6 easily, I think. I'm going to go Rangers over Caps, although I will say buyer beware on the Rangers, not just because of the President's curse, you know, the President's trophy curse, just because it seems in the last couple of years, and not just the NHL, but across all sports, that whoever is that number one dominant favorite, you know, they get a little bit caught up in that, get a little bit full of themselves, and find themselves eliminated at some point, so... I do think the Rangers will win. I do think the Caps will stretch it to 6 or 7 games.
Really?
I will go Canes over Islanders. I'm sorry, Long Island. You should be happy you're here. You don't deserve to be here.
I'm next.
All right, now we'll get to the West, which I think's more exciting. I think the Stars will get their revenge on the Golden Knights if Jamie Benn decides not to get ejected a minute and 20 seconds into the game. All right, yeah. And the fans don't leave the arena like they did at the end of the first period in that game. Jets and Avalanche, this could be a fun one.
Yeah.
I want to go Jets. I really want to go Jets. You know what? I'm going Jets, okay? Everyone's going to go Avalanche. I really like the Avalanche, but I like the Jets, and there's just something about this year's Jets that surprises me, and it makes me think that they're going to, you know, exceed the expectations of the usual Jets, in which they get a first-round exit if they even make it. Canucks and Preds. I love both of these teams. I'm excited the Predators had that huge comeback. I've been on the Canucks train the entire year.
Yep.
And
I think all three of us have been. Unfortunately,
not going to be getting off it. I think the Canucks are going to win. Yeah. I could see this series going 7 games. Yeah. And then Kings and Oilers, I had hinted at when we first started Trap. And let me say this, I think this is a good matchup for the Kings, and I think this is a trap for the Oilers. The Kings have been so, so close the last 2 years, and I think this is the year that they finally get over the hump. They had that great start to the season, and Anissa and I, we were always talking about, are the Kings legit? I remember, Mason, you said, I don't know if they're legit, and you both were right because they absolutely imploded over the winter, but they righted the ship a little bit, and they got the D3 spot. I see the Kings taking down the Oilers in 6 or 7 games. So, round 2. Panthers and Bruins. I think the Bruins get their revenge from last year, so I'll go Bruins there. Rangers and Canes, and this is where I think the curse strikes. I see the Rangers bowing out in the second round. I see the series possibly actually ending at MSG at the hands of the Canes. And I think Rod Brindamore's team, they've been close. I think this could be their year.
I would literally jump up and down and go, yippee, yippee.
Yeah, the power of friendship would reign supreme there. All right, round two.
I don't think the Canes have made the playoffs just solely on the power of friendship, though. I think they're probably a little bit more solidified.
Like,
than that.
No, they're pretty good, but they could use the power of friendship, you know, to be even better.
Yeah.
I will extend that power of friendship out to Seth Jarvis personally.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Seth Jarvis, he's a great player.
Jake Gensel is bringing the Milkshake Factory staff and Jake Shakes just to entirely bring back, and which I'm thinking about it now. Milkshake Factory, you can hit me up if you guys want to work out the legalities of this. If you guys bring back Jake Shakes, if and only if he wins the cups, I'll take a half off discount for a month if that comes through. You know, I'm just saying.
All right, let's still be
and
finished.
Star, and then here we go. So Stars and Jets, and I like this matchup too. It's not much different than Jets Avalanche. I think the Avalanche and the Stars, they have similar styles. I am high on the Stars like you both. I will go Stars, but I will say Jets are kind of sneaky sleeper pick of mine. I would not be surprised at all if they go to the Western Conference Final. I think everyone's sleeping on them, and I could see them flying away with this year's playoffs. Canucks and Kings, and I love both of these teams dearly, so it's going to pain me to say this, that one of them's going to have to go home, and I think it's going to have to be the Canucks.
No way.
No
way. Why are you propping blank, blank,
no
blank like this?
No way.
Because here's the thing about the Kings is that they may not have done the best job, but they did handle the adversity and they did keep a playoff spot. And I think if the Kings can get by the Oilers, there's just something about the Canucks, at least in the last quarter of the season, that have kind of turned me, not turned me away, but it's kind of cooled me a little bit, and so I am gonna go Kings. So that means for our Western Conference Final, we're gonna have Stars and Kings, and for our Eastern Conference Final, we're gonna have the Bruins and the Canes. And
that'd be a fun one.
I'm on board with you both. I think this is the year that we see a storm warning in Raleigh in June, a little early for hurricane season. I see the Canes going to the big dance, and in the West, I know this definitely sounds like a pipe dream. It may or may not happen, but I see the Kings with a path to the Stanley Cup final.
Really?
So I'll go Kings and Canes. These two teams, in my opinion, are very, very similar. They don't look it on paper, but they have similar playing styles, and they have a couple of similar weaknesses, in my opinion. In my 2024 Stanley Cup champion, I'm gonna say it. I think blank, blank, blank's getting a ring. The Los Angeles Kings will be your 2024 Stanley Cup champion. They had a great start to the season. They definitely fell off a cliff and cooled off, but they come back. They surprise everyone, and blank, blank, blank is relevant for once in the National Hockey League.
I think.
Yeah, first off, no.
No.
Second, I think if Cam Talbot is your starting goalie heading into the playoffs, and you expect a 35-year-old Cam Talbot to be your like wagon carrying you into the sunset of the Stanley Cup.
That wagon better not be moving fast.
Yeah, there's just I cannot see a way. I respect the enthusiasm and the optimism. I don't think it comes close.
I think one of the perks of this though is that we all had the Canes finishing the Eastern Conference Finals.
But yeah.
I think they're a little bit, like, their time is coming.
It's theirs to lose.
Yes, like, they absolutely deserve, like, they got mauled by the Panthers. Like, they put up a good fight, but Panthers mauled them.
Yeah. Another old guy without a cup, Freddie Anderson, especially after his health-related issues start the year and past couple of years. He could pull out something good for this playoff run. I'd be very happy to see that. And especially Pyotr Kochinev. I don't know how to say his name.
Pyotr Kochinev?
That seems right. I was just going to go by his nickname, Cooch. Okay. But I don't know if I can say that. Cooch. But I mean, I like that tandem going in the playoff. You got an old, experienced vet, and you got a young guy who I think has shown flashes of being good. I don't think it's been well sustained, but I mean, we know the Canes got the offensive power. I think, you know, we put something together defensively, put a brick wall in front of either of them, I think they'll go far. But yeah, good stuff. It'll be a fun playoff series, as always. I know I like the John Boys tweet. Hold on, I gotta pull it up here. What exactly did he say? Why watch overtime playoff hockey when you can simply snort cocaine and ride a motorcycle out of a helicopter? And that's what this entire Stanley Cup playoffs is.
There is
feel
not
like.
A bad matchup in these playoffs. Like,
well, I think these matchups are better than last season.
Yes,
in my
I think so too. And I think a lot of like the Rangers and Caps, like that one looks questionable because you're like, okay, like
I was gonna say that one,
crying baby versus hydrogen bomb, like that's what you have for this. But it could be interesting because like nobody expected the Panthers to beat the Bruins in 7 last year.
Yeah,
like because the Bruins were record setting, you know, historic. This is their best season ever, and then they got toppled.
Demolished.
So, I will definitely say this. I've said it all year. I think the West is a stronger conference than the East. I think the East is kind of pulled up by the fact that you have a couple of a one-two punch in the Rangers and the Canes, and maybe a 1-2-3 punch. I put the Bruins up there. The West, I really see whoever comes out victorious in the first round matchups from the West. I just think as they go deeper in the playoffs, it's the fear from the East of having to play these different squads, because with the exception of, say, the Stars and the Avalanche, none of these squads are that similar, whereas for the East, I'd argue that there's not too much of a difference between playing the Bruins or the Leafs, the Panthers or Lightning. They play similar styles. I said it a little bit, and I know I picked the Kings, but I'll put this out there too. The Winnipeg Jets, If they can take down the Avalanche, I see them with a decent chance to take down the Stars. And the Kings have historically been really bad against the Jets. And so if the Kings have to face the Jets in the Western Conference Final, the last time I think the Jets were really good, it was Tamu time out there in Winnipeg. And I think the Jets could make a run. I don't want to be like too gung ho on it.
So we're locking in Canes, Stars, Kings.
Yeah.
Okay. Locking that in.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap up this episode. Really nice being back after our extended hiatus. A lot of hockey that was watched, a lot of hockey that was worked too between all of us.
Yeah.
You refereed still, Alex, he says with a grimace on his face.
I did.
Mason dealing with WVU hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Did my little hockey stuff. I'm ready. But I will say as well, if the Penguins had made it in, Rangers fans on Twitter were like, oh my God, thank God the Penguins didn't make it in. We didn't want to face them. They would have knocked us out. What? like I could have seen it, but like at the same time, like, come on, guys.
I mean, we saw the absolute tear that Crosby was going on to end the season. I see no difference in, you know, New York owned by that bad man, James Dolan. There's another bad man in Pittsburgh that owns the Rangers too, and his name is Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. And, I mean, you know, Alex Nedeljkovic might have been a partial owner.
He has some stake there.
I mean, you know, my NHL 24 save right now, the Penguins are on a tear. You know, probably, I don't think they're going to face the Rangers in the playoffs, but, you know, possibly. But yeah, my parting words for this episode, Brock Faber for Calder, please. I know it won't happen, but I just want to see it. I think Bedard missed too much with the broken jaw. It's going to be the Calder curse, same as McDavid, same as Crosby. Missed too much time, lose out to a different player, arguably worse player, but I'm a president of the Brock Faber fan club.
And have been from the start, and we respect that.
From the jump, and I want to see it happen.
I want to see Logan Cooley. I think he's earned it.
I don't know about that. Not over Brock Faber, but.
Okay, well, this has been the 9th episode of Checked Out. Thank you for listening. I can't even say subscribe because we're not like, actually you can subscribe.
Like make and sure, subscribe.
Yeah, make sure you rate us so that we reach more people. I was going to say check us out on Twitter, but our Twitter account has been taken over by like, you know, all the in bio stuff. So
it has?
No, I just logged out of it because it was just bots that kept following us.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, that was the 9th episode of Checked Out. For Alex Silverman and Mason Deal, I'm Anissa Gallo. So long and have a great weekend.